Good morning, and thank you for waiting. We are now starting CSN Mineração's conference call to present results for the second quarter of 2021. Today, we have with us the company's executive officers. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We have simultaneous webcast that may be accessed through CSN Mineração's investor relations website at ri.csnmineracao.com.br, where the presentation is also available. The slide presentation may be downloaded from this website. Please feel free to flip through the slides during the conference call. Before proceeding, we would like to declare that some of the statements herein are mere expectations or trends and are based on the current assumptions and opinions of the company's management, and that future results, performance, and events may differ materially from those expressed herein, which do not constitute projections. In fact, actual results, performances, and events may differ materially from those expressed or implied by these forward-looking statements as a result of several factors, such as the general and economic conditions in Brazil and other countries, interest rates, exchange rate levels, future rescheduling or prepayment of debt denominated in foreign currencies, protectionist measures in the U.S., Brazil, and in other countries, changes in laws and regulations, and general competitive factors on a global, regional, and national basis. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Pedro Oliva, CFO and Investor Relations Officer, who will present the company's operating and financial highlights for the period. Mr. Pedro, please, you may begin your presentation. We apologize for the technical problem, so we will start the presentation now. I'm going to start with the highlights of the period. The company reached a record quarterly EBITDA of 5 billion reais, supported by the price of ore in the international market and the increase in production in quarter two. The free cash flow reached 2.88 billion reais, positively impacted by the strong operating performance. In quarter two 2021, the company contracted its first long-term financing at competitive costs to support its capacity addition projects, which are already ongoing. Expansion projects are in full swing. The company completed the reinforcement of its engineering staff. Today, we have 150 employees, and we are at the final stage of implementation of the optimization of the central plant, composed by the Semi-3 regrinding and spirals. Also, the board approved the distribution of 1.8 billion in interim dividends for the year 2021, and the payment of the remaining balance of 288 million from 2020, totaling 2.1 billion to be distributed on August 10th. Now, about our sales. The company reached 9.1 million tons in the second quarter, an 11% increase quarter-over-quarter and 22% increase year-over-year. It's worth noting the better realization of prices. The company had a price realization of 25%, and this was much due to the quality improvement. The FOB net revenue increased by 34% quarter-over-quarter, and this was boosted by the very good moment the company is going through. Now, about production volume. The company reached 10.5 million tons in quarter two, a very strong performance compared with the same period last year, a 42% increase and 28% increase quarter-over-quarter. It is in line with the load range of our guidance, and we will continue to improve these numbers over the next quarters. The iron ore inventory increased by 60% to 3.8 million tons, which will help us support good results over the coming quarters. The increase in the COGS to 2.2 billion is basically explained by the increase in the third-party purchase volume. We have had good margins in this operation, so I have nothing negative to say about the COGS improvement. The EBITDA reached 4.9 billion with a margin of 67.5%, an EBITDA which is 3.5 times higher than that recorded in the same period last year. Now, about investments, as we were expecting, we have increased our CapEx level, realizing 491 million reais in this quarter. This was basically due to the acquisition of large equipment and disbursements related to projects to expand our capacity and improve operationally, as well as the spare parts to support the Casa de Pedra operation. The net working capital had a 1 billion real increase. This was due to the increase in the sales volume and receivables, in addition to the increased inventory, which will favor our results in the coming quarter. Now, as for the status of our main expansion projects, I talked about us reinforcing our engineering staff, and this is crucial so that we can conduct all our expansion projects that are being implemented in parallel. We had the first package of P15 concluded, and we are having some advanced negotiations about the contracts for the P15 project. We are also contracting the second package of equipment for the P15 project and for the infrastructure project of this plant. The works will be started still in the second quarter this year. The final assembly of the optimization projects of the central plant were completed, and we will start seeing the ramp-up of this project starting in September this year, which will certainly favor the quality of our central plant. Other projects, such as CMIN4 and Lamas, already have their advanced conceptual and basic engineering ready. Next slide. The company signed a debt of $350 million with a very competitive term of 12 years to support its capacity improvement and growth projects. This puts us in a very comfortable cash position to be able to anticipate part of the payout of dividends according to the policy that we already presented and that we are maintaining looking forward. Free cash flow had a very strong performance due to this very good moment the company is going through, and this was despite the increase in the net working capital because of the increase in sales and the increase in CapEx. As expected, we could still have a strong free cash flow, and this is an important source to finance projects and also to realize the anticipation of dividend payout in this first half of the year. The company closed the quarter with 9 billion in cash, a 77% increase quarter-over-quarter, and this was based on the very strong operational performance and the contracting of the financing that we mentioned before. We have an amortization schedule which is very comfortable and prolonged and certainly supports the company's growth plan. Next slide. Here, I would like to highlight the signing of an MOU conducted by CSN Inova. We signed an MOU with the Itochu Corporation to accelerate the decarbonization of our production processes and drive our digital transformation agenda in order to increase our operations. The first stage of these contributions is already started. We already started some digital engineering projects with some very good improvement opportunities that we have mapped and that will be executed in the coming months. Now, looking into environmental and social management, as we said before, the company is adopting the world's best practices in terms of disclosure and also the search for reduction of its emissions. Today, we are the company with the lowest emission per ton of ore produced, and we will keep improving. This quarter, we completed our reporting to CDP, the GEE inventory. We're building a TCFD risk matrix, which is something that is being more and more commonly requested by ESG-focused investors. And we created the Grupo Clima, or the climate group, to promote this decarbonization agenda within our group. As for dams and water, we started the works of the Vigia Dams Belt Waterway. This is at the stage of characterization. We were able to reduce by 12% the new water consumption by ton of ore produced, and 100% of our effluents and particulates are within legal limits. We completed the revegetation of 18.6 hectares in the period, and the CSN group joined the Movement for Racial Equity, called MOVER, which is part of our diversity agenda, and we were able to increase by 26% the number of women in our payroll compared with the start of the year. The CSN Foundation projects continue to have a great impact on a large number of youth in the communities where we operate, more than 3,200 youth in all the locations where the company operates. In safety, we were able to reduce by 13.8% the reportable accident frequency rate, and we will keep improving in this sense in the rest of the year. So this is the end of my presentation, and we can now open for questions. Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. We will take questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the line by pressing star 2. Please pick up your headset when asking your question to provide optimum sound quality. The first question is from Leonardo Correa, BTG Pactual. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. Great. So my first question is about the realized price. We see the premiums increasing in China. The premiums today are over $30. So what do you expect in terms of closing this gap moving forward? What is your expectation in terms of improvement of the price realization, considering the current conditions and the expected conditions for the future? And my second question, talking about the dividend payout, in the IPO process, you got a lot of questions about this subject. We know that great part of the investments in this industry is due to the dividend payout potential and cash distribution. And when we look at the distribution in the first half of the year, it is lagging behind what was expected, and also compared with the company's peers. You seem to be a little less aggressive than you were supposed to be, considering the level of cash generation and the very low leverage of the company. So I'd like to hear from you, what is holding you back in the dividend payout and distribution, and what is making you look more cautious in this sense? And I'd also like to confirm that 80 to 100% of the net profit policy as a payout for 2020. So the total profit there will be a total profit for 2021. And the expectation of the market is that you will be paying between 80 and 100% of the income. Is that what we should be expecting? So based on the net income of 80 to 100% of payout? Thank you for your questions, Leo. Regarding price realization, the company is expecting a point improvement as of the start of September with the entry of the Semi 3. We are still in a time of transition. We will still be seeing a transformational change towards the 67% iron content pellet. And the first stage is being led by the 15 million ton plant. And regarding the dividends, yes, we will maintain our policy of 80 to 100%. And this is even due to the cash level that you mentioned. That's why we were confident to anticipate a payout of dividends. But we are confident that we will be delivering what we promised in our IPO. And we will do that comfortably. We are quite over the hurdle of this number, and the policy of 80 to 100% will be maintained and delivered in 2021. So just to confirm, even if quarter after quarter you have some deviations in this payout, you will adjust in the end. You calibrate, for example, in the last quarter or the second to last quarter to... But there will be a final adjustment because the number, at least for now, is lagging behind, right? So would it be reasonable to assume that you will adjust in the end of the year? Yes. Yes, that's very reasonable. Until the end of the year, we will compensate, because we will be calculating the yearly net income and we will pay out the dividends. The periodicity was not really defined by the board. But the 80 to 100% policy of the company will be maintained and delivered this year. Thank you, Pedro. The next question is from Caio Ribeiro, Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is about the steel production prospects for China in the second half of the year. In June, we already saw some deceleration of this production with a growth of 1.5% year over year, which is much lower than the 14% they delivered from January to May. So could you talk about how you're seeing the pace of production evolution in the second half of the year, considering the production cut policy that they seem to have re-implemented? And regarding the CapEx, your guidance for the year was 2 billion reals, so I would just like to confirm if you still believe that you are on track to deliver this number. And if you could also give us some guidance for next year. Thank you. Caio, thank you for your questions. Regarding the steel production in China, you're right. The Chinese government has been adopting some measures to contain the increase in production. In terms of foundations, they're very solid. If you look at the steel companies, it is natural to expect that in a free market environment, we would expect an increase in production to maximize results because the demand exists. So I think the Chinese government will be facing a challenge to sustain or maintain the level of production this year, the same level of production they had last year. We still see some very strong foundations in the market, very tight market that will sustain the prices, not just throughout the rest of this year with this level over $200, but we
also see have good prospects for 2022 and 2023. And regarding the CapEx, we are working on that. The ramp up of quarter one against quarter two demonstrates what we're doing, and this is something that we will continue to do next year when we expect to be running at a level of between 3 to 4 billion reals. Of course, we will still refine that number for next year, but that's the new level of CapEx that the company will base its works on for projects and for capacity expansion. Perfect. Thank you. The next question is from Rafael Barcelos, Santander. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations for the results. My first question is about purchasing from third parties. Can you give us more information about the volume or the cash course without the effect of the third party procurement? And in terms of production, what can we expect for the rest of the year? Thank you for your questions. Regarding the third party purchasing, we can't really give you the numbers, but we have an expectation that the numbers will be higher than what we had last year, something closer to 10 million tons. And we have seen some very good margins during this period considering the price increase. And regarding the cash cost, as predicted, all the variables in reals have dropped due to the increase in the production volume and the good cost control. And we have the dollar price that increased to 9.9 due to two factors that explain 90% of the variation. One is the exchange rate, which is something we cannot control. And the other one is the positive net effect due to the increase in the plots. And this has to do with the variable price at the port, the CK. So the cost increase is something, is one-off, and you see that the costs in real have also dropped. That's why we are at a very comfortable position in terms of our cost level. Production, we have 38 to 40 million tons as a guidance when we have already been able to deliver about 50% of this range in the first half of the year, and we will continue to improve in the next quarters. Thank you. The next question is from Thiago Lofiego, Bradesco. Good morning, Pedro. I have two questions. The first is about the SG&A per ton, when we look at it in dollars or as a percentage of your revenues. It was a little higher than we were expecting, 1.8% of the revenue in quarter two compared with 0.9% in quarter one. And in dollars per ton, $2.8 against 1.1 in the last quarter. And we were expecting $1.2 to $2 per ton. So is there any specific factor in this quarter, any non-recurring item that could explain this SG&A per ton and how we can think about this SG&A per ton looking forward? And about the tailings recovery project, my second question, could you please remind us when we will start to see the contribution in volume and what is the ramp up expected for the tailings recovery project? Thank you for your questions. Regarding the SG&A, we do have some non-recurring effects. We had an increase in sea freight costs, for example, and we understand that the foundations don't really explain this increase. We have an expectation of seeing an accommodation in the freight prices still in 2021 to something closer to $20. And we have two non-recurring events, which was one, the use of third-party parts. And we had some unprogrammed stops of the port 2 days due to bad weather. And then the sea is so turbulent that they can't even board the ships, and they need some point stops for maintenance. But now it is back in service. The port is back in service. And we also had some events of dispatch when you load the ship faster than expected. However, this quarter, due to these unprogrammed stops, we had a slightly higher demurrage volume because of these non-recurring events. And as we said, they are non-recurring. We're not expecting to see them happen again in quarter three. Now, regarding the tailings recovery project, we have the BFOR project, which is a project that we consider very important. We also have another project that we mentioned in our presentation last quarter, which is called LAMAS, which is also progressing really well. It's not a tailings project, but this is a project that will start in the end of next year. We also have the 2 million ton project that is progressing really well. So these are the projects that we have in our pipeline for tailings recovery. All right, Pedro, but when will you start seeing the contribution of these projects in your volume? Well, for next year, the volume coming from these new projects will not be very relevant. It won't reach 10% of contribution. We will start to see more expressive contributions in 23. With the addition of B15, which will, of course, start in 23, but this will be much more materialized in 24 when we will be closer to the 15 million tons. And about the SG&A, you talked about sea freight and the port costs, and these items are not included in your C1. I'm sorry for asking, but I thought that freight and port costs were in C1. No. Freight is not included. And when you see that the cost delivered at China is about $41, so you have to add freight to the C1. And third-party ports, we also consider them as something extra. Yes, but for the SG&A specifically, the $2 per ton, so that does not consider freight. That's my question. Knowing the sales expenses, you have the freight costs. And administrative expenses, which is the other item that composes the SG&A, we have a variation of $400,000 or $300,000, so it's marginal. So the cost is very well under control. And expenses were a little higher in this quarter because of non-recurring events, and we expect to see a significant improvement next quarter. Okay, I'm sorry for the confusion. It was just a question of about the SG&A. Thank you very much. The next question in English is from Carlos de Alba from Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good morning. So I have three questions. I'll make them one by one. The first one is on the cash costs. You just alluded to it, but I just want to see if you are still expect to have a $16 per ton C1 cash cost in 2021, given what we saw in the first half and certainly in the second quarter.
Thank you for your question. Our cost expectation will be maintained, and the impact that we had in quarter two was from a higher than expected flat, which ends up impacting on our variable lease. And if this continues in the coming quarters and the prices continue to be strong, we will also have a slightly higher cost, but with much better results. So the net effect for the company is very positive if this scenario does materialize. If we look at the cost in real, the production costs, railway, and the SG&A itself, it is in C1, so totally under control and lower than in quarter one. And the port-related effect is a positive effect due to the increase in the Platts, and the non-recurring one-off effect of the demurrage costs is something that we expect to see an expressive drop in the coming quarters.
Okay, so the demurrage costs are part of C1?
The C1 was $19.9 in quarter two.
Right, but does that include the demurrage cost?
Yes, it does. We even had an internal discussion because in theory we should include it. And this is an internal discussion that we are having because the non-recurring event could be allocated in the transportation cost. But yes, the increase in costs is partially explained by this increased demurrage. As I said, it's a non-recurring event. So we see the situation will normalize to lower levels in the coming quarter.
Okay. The next question is on working capital. And clearly, the higher iron ore price and the higher sales increase your receivables, but inventories also went up, and the days of inventories went up, and the days of payables went down. Could you comment on what do you see in the coming quarters in terms of trend on a working capital per day basis?
We don't expect to see great variations. We think that this inventory, we are having low rainfall right now, which favors high production levels. So we believe that a great part of our sales will come from the production of the current quarter. So we should end this quarter with high stocks. And when we look at the per day dynamics, that depends on the mix of production between internal and external market. You could have different payment days due to the transportation time between Brazil and China, for example, when compared with the other sales. They have a different settlement times, different payment times. But regarding this growth in third-party purchasing in a very heated market, of course, this could have an impact on the days of payment. But we are expecting to see an improvement in the next quarters with no great variations.
Okay, thank you. A final question. Would you please remind us on an update of your production guidance for this year, maybe, but also the coming years, quite important. I think you mentioned that you expect around 50 million tons in 2024. How do you see the progression between now and then?
The guidance for this year, Carlos, is 38 to 40 million tons, right? We don't have any guidance for the next years, at least nothing formal. What we have are just internal expectations, which are part of our long-term planning process. We see volumes reaching 60 million tons in 24.
60, okay. All right. Thank you very much, Pedro.
And that is considering the third-party procurement. So we are going from the current level of 40 million tons. And if you take as a premise the 10 million tons from third parties or a little less than that, we will be reaching 68, 70 million in sales in 24. And there's also the ramp up over the years. Next year, it won't be very relevant because the capacity expansion projects, we will only be seeing the results from the first projects. They will be implemented and we'll start to see the ramp up. But in 2023, we will already expect to see a more expressive volume with some of these projects being implemented. And that would lead us to a volume of about 45 million tons.
Thank you very much, Pedro.
Thank you, Carlos. The next question is from Mr. Daniel Sassoon, Itaú. Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pedro, for your presentation and for the opportunity to ask the question. My first question
is about your prepayment agreements with Glencore. You started signing them a few years ago in a context where the indebtedness situation of CSN as a whole, not specifically CSN Mineração, but CSN as a whole, you were in a little less comfortable position than you are today. So does it still make sense to continue to renew all these prepayment agreements with Glencore? Could you talk more about your expectations in terms of renewing these agreements? And the second question is about, I know that your indebtedness and leverage situation today is very comfortable, but is there any possibility that is worrisome in terms of asset liability management, or you think that the opportunities here are more limited to improve the situation? Thank you for your question. Regarding the PPA with Glencore, we do not expect to renew again. We still have some pending values that should be settled in the next few years. And regarding the leverage, we are indeed in a very comfortable situation, and our expectation is to assess our debts along the execution of our growth plan. So we will be assessing the long-term debts of the company at a competitive cost and prolonged terms so that we can have the funding to execute our growth projects while maintaining our dividend payout policy between 80 and 100% of the company's income. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. Since we have no further questions, now I hand it over to Mr. Pedro Oliva, CFO and Investor Relations Director, for his final remarks. I'd like to thank you all for attending this conference call and stress once again that we are very happy with the record results of the company, 5 billion reals in the quarter. And we're also very happy to be able to announce the partial anticipation of dividend payout in line with our policy. We are very confident that the foundations of our IPO continue to be very solid, and we will continue to see a very good phase in the next coming quarters. Thank you all for attending. This conference call is now finished. Thank you for participating and have a great day. Please disconnect your lines now.